Morning.
Today's daf in Chulin is Kuf Yud Aleph. We are starting today in Kuf Yud Amud Beis. We are starting right in the middle of that Amud, that short Amud, and Kuf Yud Amud Beis. And we start today with the discussion of the liver. Now, even though this is Kol HaBasar, the eighth parak of Chulin, and we're discussing, generally speaking, topics that are related to Basar B'Chalav, but today we get a little bit of a break from the Basar B'Chalav talk, and we talk about a liver. Even though liver has nothing to do with Basar B'Chalav, but it comes up over here. The common denominator, and the reason probably why the liver becomes almost the entirety of today's discussion in the Gemara, is because, as we learn regarding the chal, you want to prepare the chal, so what do you do? So we learned that it has to be expunged of its milk. In other words, the chal, the udder of an animal, especially that of a nursing animal, right? The Gemara talked about where it's really deeply saturated with milk, so you want to extract the milk before you cook it. So what you're going to do is you're going to cut it, and they're going to make two cuts. They're going to run perpendicular to one another, and you're going to press it against the wall, and that way you're going to be extracting the milk that's inside. Similarly, when it comes to the liver, so the liver is saturated with blood. And as we're going to learn a little bit later on, so there is an opinion in the Gemara that says that we're going to do the same process with the liver, in which we're going to make two cuts. They're going to run perpendicular to one another, and we're going to extract the blood before we actually cook or roast it. Okay, so that's why liver comes up in the discussion. Before we get onto the liver, let's just get grounded in some basic information regarding the isurim that are involved. The liver is an organ of an animal, and so like any organ of the animal, it's perfectly edible, and you're allowed to eat it and enjoy it, right? Eat the liver like you can eat any one of the organs of an animal, right? It's basically basar, it's meat. However, the liver, of course, is saturated with blood. The liver is saturated with blood. You remember the Gemara that we did not just 3 days ago. The Gemara in Kuf Chesamad Aleph, Kuf Chesamad Beis, tells the story of Yalta and her husband, Rav Nachman. Yalta says that, you know, whatever the Torah prohibited, the Torah gives the manner in which we could enjoy it and which it's permissible. So one of the examples she gave a number of examples, but one of them is that the Torah prohibits blood, but at the same time, the Torah permits liver. So basically, when you're eating liver, it doesn't really matter how much of the blood gets extracted. When you're eating liver, you're going to be tasting the blood. And so we know that the liver is an organ that is a concentration of blood, and yet it is permitted. So that's point number one, just in terms of what makes the liver unique over all the other organs. Another point to take into basic, and it's a basic point to take into consideration. What is the status with blood of an animal? So the blood of the animal is one of the isurim of the animal, right? As we discussed numerous times, when you shecht an animal, so that now permits for the consumption of the animal, but there's still parts of the animal that are going to be prohibited. Three parts of the animal that we could really identify is going to be always prohibited. One is the chelev, the forbidden fats of the animal. Two is the ginanasha, and three is the dam, the blood of the animal. Now, when we talk about the blood of the animal, we could actually divide the blood into a number of different categories. When you shecht the animal, so there is blood that's going to gush and come out of the animal, that's dam ha-nefesh. So dam ha-nefesh is aser min ha-Torah. There's an iser kares. Okay, that is blood number one. Blood number two is the blood that comes out afterwards, meaning after the gush of blood, the lifeblood that spurts out. So there's going to be like trickling blood coming out after that. So that is also an iser min ha-Torah to consume that blood. And whether or not there's an iser kares with that particular blood, as we already learned together, machlokes atanayim, whether that's an iser kares. And then on top of that, there's also dam evarim. Now, dam evarim is really interesting. Blood in the muscle, blood in the organs. So blood in the muscle, blood in the organ. So what is the status of blood in the muscle and in the organ? So here the halacha gets a little bit more subtle. When the blood is actually in the organ itself, that's dam she'eino parish, that is blood that has not yet come out of the organ, come out of the muscle, that blood is mutter. That blood you're allowed to eat. However, dam she'pireish, once the blood comes out of the muscle or comes out of the organ, so that blood is usser and usser min ha-Torah. Okay, now, here's where it gets interesting. Now, I'm not talking about the liver, I'm just talking about, in general, any organ of the animal that has saturated blood inside of it. So it's an interesting halacha. You want to eat that meat raw, even though there's blood inside of it? Gesundheit. Enjoy it. Now, I don't know how much you and I are going to enjoy eating raw meat, right? It's hard to get through, but okay, good, good. But right, though, there are some people here who have a refined a refined delicacy, a refined palate, and they know what I'm talking about. However, right? But here it's where it gets interesting. So if you want to enjoy a piece of meat in its raw state, that's fine. Meaning, ah, there's blood inside of it. That's dam. That is anal parish. It didn't separate from the meat, and that's fine. However, once you cook the meat or roast the meat, doesn't really matter, and you're extracting the blood from inside of it, now that blood that's been extracted is now aser, and aser min haTorah. Now consider, and this is going to be a good part of today's discussion, if I cook it in a pot, now what? So now what we have is basically a problem in which the blood comes out, that blood is aser, and that blood now, the pot's going to be aser, right? The liquid in the pot's going to be aser, and presumably what's going to end up happening is that blood's going to make a U-turn, go back into the organ, and aser the organ, or the meat. And it's really, if you think about it, it's so interesting. Meaning, prior to me cooking it, that meat was totally fine. And now because I cooked it, so now it's going to be aser. But based on the principles that I just laid forward, it makes sense. Because what happens now is that it's dam shapiresh. Dam shapiresh now is aser. And if it goes back in, it's, you know, in other words, iser is iser. Now, one more thing to take into consideration. I know there's a lot of information even before reading a word of Gemara. But one more thing to take into consideration, and we've touched on this idea before, but obviously it becomes a big part of today's daf, and that's the following. When we're talking about discharging and absorption of taste, generally speaking, discharge and absorption is a one-way street. You are either in the process of discharging or you're in the process of absorbing, but it's not a two-lane highway. You can't do both at the same time. And so, interestingly enough, when I'm cooking an organ in a pot, so while it's discharging, it can't be absorbing at the same time. Now, you remember a couple days ago, the Gemara described, that's true when you're cooking it, but as it's cooling down, so then it's going to stop discharging, and it's going to start absorbing. Okay, so that's another point to take into consideration. If I want to cook a piece of meat, what do I do? And again, let's leave the liver out of the discussion, although the liver is most of our discussion today. But if I want to cook a piece of meat, so what do? If I know I'm going to cook a piece of meat, but the blood now is going to come out and come back in again, so we have a problem, so what do? So what we do is one of two things in order of extracting the blood from a regular piece of meat. One, we'll salt the meat. The salting of the meat creates a chemical reaction in which the salt is going to draw the blood out. Whatever's left inside is not considered blood. It's right. It's juice. It's not considered blood. So number one is salting. Number two is roasting. You roast a piece of meat, a regular piece of meat. So what the roasting does is the same thing. It draws out the blood. And being that I'm roasting it over an open fire, so that's fine. Meaning the blood that drips out is going to drip onto the fire. It's going to get burnt in the fire, and we're fine. And we're totally fine. So there are really two ways in terms of extracting the blood of a regular piece of meat that comes from the animal, either salting or roasting. And now, let's reintroduce ourselves to the liver. The liver now is saturated with blood. Now, basically, the Gemara is going to be having the following as part of like the bigger discussion of our entire sugya. The liver, obviously, is clearly above all other organs as it relates to its blood content. Its blood content is really high. And yet the Torah allows us to eat the liver. So there really are one of two possibilities when it comes to the liver. It could be, one possibility is that, okay, in other words, there's blood in the liver, but in the manner in which we're going to extract blood normally, we're going to do the same thing with the liver. Meaning, well, let me put it in better terms. We have to remove the blood from the liver, and we'll do so in the manner in which we normally do. Now, although the Gemara is not going to be talking about salting of the liver, so let us assume that salting is just not going to be enough. Meaning, and I know there are Rishonim that say that salting the liver would be fine in terms of blood extraction, but from the Gemara, it seems like salting is not going to be good enough. Let's assume, and I know it's an assumption, but let's assume that salting is not going to be good enough for the liver. Fine. We'll roast the liver and we'll try to get out as much blood as possible through the act of roasting. That's one possibility. Another possibility, however, is a much bigger chiddush, and that is, the blood of liver is mutter. Now, that's obviously a much bigger chiddush, but the reason why we would even suggest such a thing is because, look, the liver is so saturated with blood, you can't get it all out. The Torah permits it. All right, so maybe what we could say now is that the liver, the blood in the liver, as opposed to all other organs of the animal, is just simply blood, which the Torah allows. That's another possibility, although that is a tremendous chiddush. But that's another possibility.
Why would you have to take it out?
Right, correct. Correct. And the only... Right, correct. And then that begs the question then, why would I need to extract it, or... Right, are we then concerned about the... Why are we then concerned that the blood's going to come out and come back in again? Okay. The first option is really going to be the more accepted option. But at least I'm just articulating a thought that like kind of runs through the Gemara. Like it's a strain, it's a thought strain that runs through the Gemara. And I'll show you as we get to the various points of the Gemara where the Gemara is actually entertaining this possibility. But again, that's the biggest chiddush, and the halacha is not going to go like that. The halacha is that the blood of the liver is usur. We need to remove the blood, even though we acknowledge we're not going to get out all the blood. Okay. With all that stated, I know that was a lengthy introduction, hopefully worthwhile, right, over 10 minutes. But let's start with the Gemara. We're on Kuf Yud Amud Beis, Amar Lei Abaye L'Rav Safra. Kisalika Lahasam, so Abaye says to Rav Safra, look, I know you're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to learn in these shiurs in Eretz Yisrael, and good. And when you do so, by Minayu Kavda Mi Asun Ma Asun Bei. And so I have a very simple question, and that is, what do the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael do with the liver? How do they prepare the liver? Simple question. So Kisalik Ashkechel Rezvika, so Rav Safra goes to Eretz Yisrael, he finds Rezvika, Amar Lei, Ana Shalki Lei. Rabbi Ami va'achal. So the response that he was given is that we cook it and we eat it. Okay, good. Now the truth of the matter is that we don't have a lot. We, the reader, don't have a lot of information. We just know that Eretz Yisrael is mutter. So right. A lot of details that need to be filled in over here. We're going to get to some of those details in just a moment. So ki asa lagabe amar lei. And so now Rav Safra goes back to Bavel and he meets back with Abaye and he gives him a full report. Now the full report is that they're happy. In Eretz Yisrael, they're happy, they eat their livers. They cook their livers, they eat their livers, and that is the report that Rav Safra gives to Abaye. Abaye is wholly unimpressed. Unimpressed. So he says, look, Abaye says to Rav Safra, this never was a doubt for me. To cook a liver by itself in a pot, totally fine. Meaning, I want to know, can I cook the liver with other pieces of meat? So, now, why is it that Abaye had certain pieces of information that to him were obvious? So it's based on the Mishnah and Trumos. Now, it is an unusual place to locate a discussion in the Mishnayos that have to do with the liver. But the Mishnah and Trumos in the 10th Perek has the following very concise point regarding the liver. Ditnan. Eino neseres. So the Mishnah and Trumos says that the liver itself does not become prohibited when cooked in a pot. Now, lemeser chaverta nameloti bailach ditnan akavet oseres veino neseres. Mimneshi poletes veino bolas. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? If your Mishnah is the starting point of this discussion, that very same Mishnah is the ending point of the discussion, because now, well, let's read the Mishnah in its completion. The Mishnah says, as it relates to the covet, as it relates to the liver, it is aser, it is eno ne'eseris, it itself does not become aser, although it prohibits other foods. Why? Mimneshi poletes veino bolas. Because when cooked in a pot, what's happening with the liver is that the blood in the liver, again, the blood in the liver itself is totally mutter. The problem is when it exits the liver. When it exits the liver, so what it's going to do is it's now going to go into other foods, and whatever other foods now is in that pot is going to become usser. So the Mishnah's point is oseres ve'eino ne'eseres. But it, the liver itself, does not become usser. And the Mishnah tells us why. It's polatas ve'eino bolas. Because as I described earlier in the intro, when we're talking about belia, when we're talking about absorption, it's a one-way street. While you're discharging, you cannot absorb. While the liver is discharging blood, it cannot absorb its own blood. Not because it can't absorb its own blood, for sure it can. Not while it's discharging. So while it's discharging, it can't absorb. And because the liver is saturated with blood, it's going to be constantly discharging. Really interesting if you think about it. Meaning the chumra of the liver becomes its kula. Because it's got so much blood in it, and because it's constantly discharging, so it never has an opportunity to absorb its own blood. So Amalei, So Abaye says to Rav Safra, look, I also know the Mishnah and Trumos, thank you very much. I also know how to read the Mishnah. And the reason why I still sent you to Eretz Yisrael to ask you the question is because when I read the Mishnah, I could have given another pshat in the Mishnah. Amalei Dilma Hasan Bekavda Di Isura. When the Mishnah over there talks about how I'm cooking a liver in a pot with other foods, I'm still going to entertain the idea that the other foods are mutter. Now that's strange because the Mishnah says, Oseres, it prohibits other foods. But Abaye says maybe the Mishnah means is that the Mishnah was not talking about a liver of a kosher animal. Maybe the Mishnah was talking about the liver of a non-kosher animal. Right? Kavda di Isura, as we turn to Kufiyat Aleph Amid Aleph. Omishum Shamnunisa. And the reason why the Mishnah says it's also is because of the Shamnunis. Literally the fat. But when we say fat over here, we just simply mean the actual organ itself. Being that it's coming from a non-kosher animal. When we say non-kosher over here, we could be talking about nevela, we could be talking about treifa. So it's a non-kosher animal. And it's because that is now being discharged and sent into other pieces, it's going to be aser. But Abaye now, in his havamina, meaning in this way of reading the Mishnah, if it was a liver of a kosher animal, now what? Maybe, and again, I say this as a possibility. This is not the conclusion. But maybe a liver cooked in a pot, even with other meats and other foods, everything will be mutter. Everything will be mutter. What about all the blood? And again, this goes back to what I suggested at the beginning of Shir today, because at least in this Havamina, what Abaye is thinking is that the blood of the liver is mutter. And again, it sounds strange, but because the liver is so saturated with blood, and because the Torah allows us to eat the liver, so maybe the blood of the liver is mutter. The Mishnah and Trumos, that describes Oseres, that Mishnah and Trumos is talking about the liver of a non-kosher animal. All this is a possibility. Okay, so now, Mishum Damamai. And that's why I sent you to Eretz Yisrael to ask you the question. Okay. So now, Kihadar Salik, so Rav Safra now goes to Eretz Yisrael for a second time. Ashkechele Rav Zrik Amrle, Hai Namiloti Bailach, Ta'ana Viana Bereda Rabbi, Ami Iklan Lebei, Yehuda Bereda Rabbi Shimon Mempazi. Okay, so a lot of details in terms of who went to whom, but the point is that we went to go visit the son of Reb Shimon Ben Pazi, v'krivel and kanya b'kupya v'achalna, and what they ended up serving us was the trachea, and all the organs attached to the trachea, which includes the lungs, the heart, and the liver. So all these organs that are attached to the trachea were cooked in the pot and consumed. Okay, so it sounds like we're good to go. So muscular, meaning right now, what it sounds like is that cooking the liver in a pot with other organs and other pieces of meat does not aser it altogether. Now the Gemara on this says, I am not convinced. Maskel Rav Ashi v'item Rav Shmuel mezrukinya v'dilma pikana chusa kedera hava. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what they did is that the trachea, the open section of the trachea they had out of the pot, and it basically served as like an exhaust, as a drainage pipe. So that whatever blood is going to be in the liver, in the lungs, and in the heart, are going to drain out through the opening of the trachea. That's one possibility. Inami mechlat havechalet le miikara. Or the Gemara says another possibility is that they sear the liver. Now the searing of the liver really interesting, right? In other words, cooks do this, chefs do this. I'm not a cook, I'm not a chef, but in other words, what they do is that they sear the meat before they cook it. When you're searing the meat, what are you doing? So basically what you're doing is you're trapping the juices inside of the piece of meat, and so that once you sear it, it all stays inside. When I sear a liver before we cook it, so basically what we're doing is we're trapping the blood inside of it. Oh, that's beautiful. And when we're trapping the blood inside of it, again, dam evarim is fine. It's only dam shepiresh, it's going to be usr. So if we sear it and we trap all the meat, all that blood inside of it, so then we're good. Maybe that episode that you told us is talking about a circumstance in which we seared the liver beforehand. And the Gemara talks about the various practices on the Amoraim in terms of how to sear it. Some sear it in vinegar and some sear it in just simply boiling water. Throwing the liver into a boiling pot of water is going to sear it and trap all the blood inside. And Rav Nachman, by the way, seared it in water. Now, when you're searing it, let's for a moment talk about searing it in vinegar. So you're going to be searing it now in vinegar. Now, is the vinegar itself going to be mutter or asr? The Gemara now has at least a thought that the vinegar itself should be asr. So, amar le, ichala asr, yunami asr. Ki hechadapala, hadabala. No, don't say that. Don't say that the vinegar itself is asr. Meaning, if I'm searing the liver in vinegar, that vinegar is going to be fine. Because if you're going to entertain that the vinegar is asr, so what are you saying, essentially? You're saying that when I seared it in the vinegar, the blood came out and went into the vinegar, but then I'm also going to be saying that that blood turns around when it starts cooling down and goes back into the liver itself. So the Gemara says that when you're searing the liver, so either the vinegar, and I'd suggest even the water as well, in which I seared it in, is not going to be asr, but rather going to be mutter. The Gemara tells the following story. Rav Bar Shva Ikla Lebe Rav Nachman. Okay. So now we have the Rav, the son of Shiva, going to the house of Rav Nachman, Isilei Kavda, and what was served to him was the liver. Shlika Velo Achal. And this liver was not roasted, the liver was cooked. And Rav Bar Shva refused to eat the liver. Now this, of course, is, needless to say, offensive to Rav Nachman. Right? Rav Nachman himself was a very observant individual. And we can go many more steps than that. Aside from him being a Talmid Chacham, he was also the Gadol Hador. He was the head of the community, and it was a posek. And you have now basically somebody being a guest at his house, being served the liver, and for religious reasons, this guest is not going to be eating the liver. I also want to be Malamid Zchus. As we're going to see in just a moment, Rav Nachman was not Malamid Zchus on his guest. As will become evident in just a moment. So, you know the story's not going to end well. I mean, first of all, we are dealing with Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, as we've seen time and again throughout Shas, is not a gentle personality. And okay, in other words, he's a leader. And leadership requires strength. And he had a strong personality. That's fine. This is not going to go well. So anyway, so Isole kavta shlika velo achal. So Amrle bar be rav delegav lo achal. Umanu Rav Bar Shiva. And her full report now gets to Rav Nachman. That young Talmid Chacham that's in your house right now that's being served the liver is not eating the liver. Rav Nachman's response, it was very simple. He puts all this to rest very quickly. Amaluhu Rav Nachman Ga'amo L'Shiva. So Rav Nachman says, okay, so here's what you're going to do. We're going to go to the table and we're going to force the liver right down his throat. Right, and by the way, you'll see the way he describes him, right? Ga'amo l'shva, force feed shva. In other words, doesn't even refer to him by his first name, right? In other words, okay, make Sugarman eat it, okay? Right, when you hear it in those terms, like you hear, like, in other words, enough with this behavior, enough with this, you know, never, right? Right, I don't need this firmer coming to my house and refusing to eat the food that I'm serving. Okay, now. So basically what happens is as follows. Now, this liver was cooked in a pot. Now, the Mishnah Trumos says that the liver itself is mutter. In other words, that's the Mishnah Trumos. But again, we also point to, well, no. In other words, it's hard to read the Mishnah any other way. And on what basis was this Talmid Chacham refusing to eat the liver? So that in of itself is a little bit difficult to understand, but in just a moment, we're going to hear it. Kitanai. Now, the Gemara now notes that this is subject to a Machlokas Tanayim. Because Rabbi Lazar Omer HaKavod Oseres Veino Neseres B'mneisha Poletes Veino Bolas. So, in this Brisa now that we are learning, Rabbi Eliezer is exactly like the Mishnah Trumos that we heard at the beginning of Shir today. Which is that when I cook a liver in a pot, so the blood that is going out is going to prohibit all the other food, but the liver itself remains unaffected. Why? Because again, one-way street. It's discharging and it can't absorb. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Omer Metubalas Oseres Veneseres, Shluka Oseres Veneseres. And Rabbi Shmuel in this Brisa says no, that when I'm cooking the liver in a pot, it is going to go in both directions. Now it could very well be that he simply disagrees with the basic premise that Bliya only goes in one direction and can't go in two directions at the same time. Or another way to suggest it would be that maybe he's saying that look, I don't know if the liver is going to be constantly discharging. Maybe what happens is that the liver finishes discharging, and once it finishes discharging, now it's open for absorption. Okay? Whatever the case is, clearly in the Brisa, there are multiple opinions on this, And so the Gemara now has a support for this Rav Bar Shiva. Despite the fact that he practiced in a manner which was... we can question. I mean, I'm not sure if we're really in a position to challenge. But we can question how it is that he's at Rav Nachman's house and refusing to eat food, being served by Rav Nachman. But at least he does have a Tana that supports his position that the liver itself, when cooked, is going to be usser, become usser. Rava bar Rav Huna kol be Rava bar Rav Nachman Isla kame tlasa v'tachai. The Gemara tells the story of one rabbi going to the house of another rabbi, and what was brought to him was a basket of bread, and it was smeared with honey and oil, and it was delicious. Okay, that was my editorial. So Amar lehu mihava yadisa dasine. So he says, look, did you know that I was coming? Meaning you're really putting out a spread over here. This is delicious. Did you know it was all this for me? Now it's funny, not so long ago we did the Gemaras detailing and discussing Geneva's Das. Right? In other words, if it's not for him, so what you should do is tell him, no, it wasn't for you. And in fact, that's exactly what happens over here. What do you mean, for you? Right? It's Shabbos. And the reason why I'm putting out such a wonderful spread is because it's Shabbos. Now, at this point in time, also what was being served at that particular Shabbos table was the liver. And it wasn't just the liver, but it was the liver with its major arteries connected to the liver. And so now we have a problem. In other words, as we've been discussing since the beginning of Shiur today, we talked about the liver, but now we also have to take into consideration the major arteries that are connected to the liver, and now those arteries also have blood coursing through them. So Amalu Amayavita Tahachi. So he asked the question, why did you do this? Meaning, and Rashi over here, I'm reading the Rashi inside, Amayavita Tahachi, Afa Pishadama Nivla Bo Heterhu, Miudama Kenos Bistimponus Damhu. Now, Rashi explains over here, look, blood in an organ, like we've been saying since the beginning of Shiur today, is fine. But that's not true regarding the major blood vessels. The major blood vessels are not considered dam evarim, but rather, do you know what blood in the major arteries are considered? Blood. Right. Outside of Shiur, that sounds like the most basic thing to say. But in Shiur, in the context, now we're saying a chiddush. Blood in a blood vessel is considered blood, and it's not considered dam evarim. And so over here, when you prepare this particular liver together with its major arteries, you have now created a significant problem because now this is, you cooked it in blood. Amar le elahecha navid. So he says, what should I do? Amar lehu karu v'shesi v'er v'chitucha l'sachas. So the Gemara says, here's what you have to do. If you're going to be cooking a liver with its major artery, so here's what you're going to do. First and foremost, don't cook it. Roast it. And even before the roasting, what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to make those two cuts perpendicular, right? Shesi ve'erev. And then what you're going to want to do is make sure that those cuts are facing downward so that all the blood now is going to drain out and into the fire. Now the Gemara says, now this requirement of cutting it and making sure that the cut is facing downward is specific to the liver, but when cooking something like a spleen, for example, there's no requirement to do so. Now, the Gemara could have pointed to any organ. Why did the Gemara specifically point to the spleen? Because the spleen also is red in color, and one could have suggested that the spleen is just going to be like the liver in halacha, but that's not so. The spleen is like any other organ, in which all you do is simply roast it in order to extract the blood. Again, because of the excess blood that's found in the liver, so prior to roasting, what you have to do is you have to make two cuts running perpendicular one to another, and making sure that those two cuts are facing downward. In fact, Shmuel, so what he would do is he would make sure to have spleen, to consume spleen, on the day in which he bloodlet. I guess the spleen was a great way of replacing all the nutrients that he lost in the bloodletting. But anyway, but the point is that Shmuel would prepare the spleen no different than any other piece of meat, and he would not do the extra preparation like we just described regarding the liver. It markavda ilave basar shari. Okay, now the Gemara is going to talk about the roasting of the liver. Now, if you want to do it nice and easy, so it's very simple. You roast the liver by itself. Okay, but as you know, when you're grilling, so what you want to do is you want to put a lot of different meats on it. Now, back in the day, so they would grill on a spit. And also back in the day, this is a really important point, So what direction was the spit? It was horizontal. In other words, nowadays, if I ask anyone to envision a spit and to visualize a spit, so you normally think rotisserie, and we think that the spit is running on a horizontal plane. But their spits were vertical. I think earlier I said horizontal. Sorry, I misspoke. Their spits were vertical, right? They ran up and down. So now, if you can imagine where the spit is now running vertical, so you have now, if I want to put a bunch of meats on the spit, so the meats are going to be piled one on top of another on the spit. So now, it's a really simple question. So if I want to cook liver, so again, the easiest way to do it is just simply cook it by itself and let all the blood drain into the fire. That's easy. Now let's make it a little more complicated. Now let's say instead of just cooking or roasting the liver by itself, so what we're going to do is we're going to pile meats one on top of another. Can I take the liver and put it on top of the meat? What's going to happen now is that during the roasting process, the blood's going to start now dripping down, and before it goes to the fire, it's going to be running over the other pieces of meat, presumably creating a problem. And while we're on the subject, so now we can reintroduce the udder once again, and we can ask the same question regarding the udder. Let's say I want to roast the udder, and I want to roast it together with other meats. And again, it's the same exact question, but now instead of the liver, now we're talking about the udder. If I take the udder and I put it on top of other pieces of meat while roasting it, what's going to happen now is that I'm going to be running off the juices of the udder. But in the juices of the udder is milk. As we already discussed, that is chalav shchuta min ha-Torah. It is not going to be prohibited, but it's milk. Granted, Danny's correct. It's not going to create basar b'chalav min ha-Torah, but now I'm watching milk basically run down over other pieces of meat. So I'll ask both of those questions, and the Gemara is going to give answers to both of those questions. So let's see all this inside. Itmar. We are towards the bottom of the Amud. We are about a dozen lines from the bottom of the Amud. Last word in the line, Itmar. Kabli lavi bisra shari. Dama mishrik sharik. If I take liver and put it on top of another piece of meat in our roasting, and on the spit, and again, look at the spit as being vertical, and I put the liver on top of the other pieces of meat during the roasting process, we are fine. Why? Dam mishrak sharik. Because what's going to happen is that during the roasting process, all that's going to happen with the blood coming out of the liver, it's just going to simply slide down. The blood is not really going to be thick and sticky, and it's not going to absorb into the other pieces of meat. Kichla ilave bisra asur maitama chalav sruche misrach. However, if I take the udder and put it on top of another piece of meat during the roasting process, that's going to be a problem. Why? Because the milk that comes out is a fatty liquid, and it's going to stick to the pieces of meat that are underneath the udder. Rav Dimi min Arda masni ipcha. Now Rav Dimi min Arda says just the opposite. Kachli ilave bisra shari maitama chalav shchuta derabanan kavde ilave bisra asur dam da araisa. And over here, I'm reversing the psakim, and the svaras go like this. When I take the udder and roast it, and I put the udder on top of other pieces of meat, and yes, it's true, the milk is going to be running down, but that's not chalav min ha-Torah. That's chalav coming from an udder. And it's chalav coming from an udder, and that chalav is going to be only in Issa d'Rabbanan. So don't concern yourself with that runoff milk that's coming off of the udder, because to begin with, it's only in Issa d'Rabbanan. Masha Enkin, when we're talking about the liver and the blood coming out of the liver, that's an Issa d'Araisa. And that blood now is running over other pieces of meat, so that's not acceptable. So over here, just the opposite. Which one?
The kal on top of meat.
Correct.
Why is it mutter?
Why is it mutter?
It shouldn't be mutter. You actually see the...
Yeah, but it's chalav shchuta. And it's also, and it's in the, it is, oh, you know, right. But in other words, but it's, okay, not midraisa, it's not going to be asur midrabanan. So as we learned in yesterday's daf, it could be asur midrabanan, right? There were two two versions of Rav in not yesterday, yeah, what's it called? 2 days ago, on Kuf Tes Amud Beis. There were two versions of Rav. And even in the second version of Rav, where it's asur, but over here it's in the process of roasting. So again, the argument you can make is that milk is not going to really stick to the meat below it. Okay. Darsh Meremar. The Gemara comes to now a resolution. Hilchasa ben kavde min kach latuse b'sra sharei ilave bis... ben kavde min kach latuse b'sra sharei. If your liver or your udder is on the spit and it's underneath, according to everyone, it's going to be fine. Ilave b'sra dieven lechatzchil alo. If the udder or the liver is on top of the meat, lechatzchil, one should not do that. But b'dieved, it's going to be fine. And basically, he's taking the lenient svaras of both svaras that we learned together. Meaning, when it comes to blood, why b'dieved is it going to be fine? Because again, dam is shrek sharik. Because the blood is not very sticky in nature, it's just going to run off. And as far as the milk is concerned, even though it's stickier, but at the same time, we're only looking at best or worst, an issa d'rabbanan. Okay, so b'dieved is going to be make on both circumstances. Really interesting Rashi over here on the bottom of the Amud. Rashi says, as far as we're concerned, lechatzchila, we are never to put the udder or the liver together with any other meats on the spit. Why? So Rashi says, because something amazing happened since the time of the Gemara. What happened to our spit? It went from being vertical to being horizontal. Meaning, our minhag is, Rashi writes, that we don't roast with the spit running vertically, but we run with the spit running horizontally. And so therefore, Rashi writes on the bottom of the Amud, so for us, lechatchila, one should never put the udder or the liver side by side with any other meats when roasting, but rather roast it by itself. Okay. Bottom of the Amud Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. We continue. Rav Ashi Ikla Bei Rami. Okay, yeah. So Rav Ashi Ikla Bei Rami Bar Abba Chamu Chazi Lebrei De Rami Bar Abba Deka Shapid Kavda Ilave Bisra. So Rav Ashi goes to his father-in-law, and now he's watching his brother-in-law roasting meats, and he sees that the liver's on top of the spit, on top of other pieces of meat. Needless to say, he's not happy. Amar kama yahir haimir abanan. His response is that that's arrogant. Because, and he spells it out. Yes, it's true that b'dieved, we said that all the other meat is going to be fine, but that's b'dieved. Lechatchila, one should not put the liver on top of other meats during the roasting. Rather, the liver should be on the bottom. Meaning, probably best to roast it by itself. But if I'm going to be roasting it with other meats, put the liver on the bottom. But to put the liver on the top and having the blood run over the other meats, now again, b'dieved, everything is going to be fine. But lechatchila, one shouldn't do that. Okay. Now, what about the pan on the bottom of the roast that's collecting the fat? Okay. For those of you who see rotisseries in action, so you'll know that there's a pan on the bottom, and that pan now is collecting all that fat on the bottom. And what is it? I'm not speaking health-wise. I'm speaking now in terms of that fat's delicious, and you're gonna want to take that fat and repurpose it. Okay, good. Problem now is as follows: is that I have a drip pan that's collecting all the fat that's dripping off, but we're talking about the roasting of the liver. What do we say regarding the drip pan? That fat that I've collected now in the bottom, haven't I also collected blood? Ah, okay, good. We see the problem. The Gemara describes the drip pan as a bei dugay. V'i ika bei dugay bisra ilave kevda nami aser maishna midama de bisra dama de bisra shachin dama de kav de kape. So the Gemara over here says really interesting. If I have a drip pan on the bottom, all the fat that's collected in the drip pan is going to be aser. So the Gemara says, wait one second, wait. If I'm going to be roasting a regular piece of meat, not the liver, are you telling me that the drip pan is always going to be aser? To which the Gemara said, no. But the Gemara says, but I'll tell you why. When we're roasting a regular piece of meat, yes, it's true that the blood is going to be coming out of a regular piece of meat. But interesting, the Gemara says that blood that comes out of a regular piece of meat is a dense, it's denser, and what it does is it goes right to the bottom of the drip pan. All the fat's going to be floating on top of it. Eventually, what happens is when I take that drip pan and I collect the fat, make sure not to take the bottom, which the Gemara is going to talk about in more detail later. But meanwhile, when I'm roasting a liver, because there's so much blood in the liver, the blood that's collecting the drip pan is going to be throughout the drip pan, on the bottom, in the middle, and on the top of the drip pan as well. So, okay, very, very interesting. So, Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Sakin Shashach Ba'asalach Tach Barosech. Now, any knife that I use for Shechita, So there's going to be trace amounts of blood on that knife. Consider, I just shechted an animal with that knife. So there is going to be trace amounts of blood on that knife. If I then went ahead and cut a piece of meat with that knife, which parenthetically, by the way, a shochet would probably never do. In other words, the knife is very delicate and special, and he needs it for shechita. But in the event that he cut any food with that knife, and it's a hot food, so now what's going to happen is that the blood that's on the knife is going to go into the food that he's cutting. Tzonein, amalei bai hadacha, v'amalei lo bai hadacha. Now, if, let's say, he used that knife, the shochet's knife, to cut cold food, so over here there's no blia. There was no absorption, because again, like we've said numerous times, in order for absorption to happen, I need a medium and I need heat. And if we're cutting with a knife cold food, so even though there is some friction coming from off the knife, but the Gemara says, but there's no absorption of the blood into the food that he cut if the food that he cut was cold. However, the area which was cut, does it require a rinsing? The Gemara has viewpoints. The Gemara says, in one view, by hadacha requires rinsing. So the Gemara has two versions of whether that the area of cut requires a rinsing. If I have a plate in which I salted meat, so once again, now what happens is that blood is going to be absorbed into the plate, because consider that what we're describing over here is the salting process. Salting is a substitution of heat, right? That Shmuel statement, which we're going to see again in today's daf in just a moment. And so therefore, when I salt a piece of meat on a plate, so now the blood goes into the plate. Now, and I cannot reuse the plate for hot. Now, interesting, by the way, it sounds like from the Gemara, what I can do is I can reuse the plate for cold, meaning if I want to use the plate for cereal and milk, I know that sounds strange. But if I want to reuse that plate for cold, it sounds like it's okay. Now, misvara, it makes sense. Because if there's no heat, there's no way for that absorbed taste to go from the plate into the food. Good. So, also lechol barasech, u'shmul atam edam ha'shmul malich ha'reka rasech v'kavash ha'reka mevushal. So the Gemara says, now this is Shmuel being consistent with his general position, which is that when I salt, it is similar to roasting, in that salt creates a chemical reaction similar to the roasting action, and therefore is a heat substitute. Pickling, by the way, is the same thing. Pickling is also like cooking. In fact, correct. In other words, right. In other words, the act of pickling is so powerful it mom shakes the place of bishul. Ki azar Rav and Amar Rav Yochanan Meliach ena karoseach v'kavush eino kimavushal. Now, Ravin comes in from Eretz Yisrael, according to Rav Yochanan, which we see time and again throughout Shas, and he quotes Rav Yochanan as saying, nah, salting is not a heat substitute, and pickling is not a heat substitute. I'm sorry, Hadar Ravin Lesa. Abaye basically says, don't listen to Ravin in this particular halachic circumstance. Dahu Pinka, Dahava Bey Rabbi Ame, Dabalach Bey Bisra. There was a earthenware plate that it was in the house of Rabbi Ame. They salted on top of this plate, Vitabre. And what they did is they broke the plate, because now the plate is saturated with blood. Michde, Rabbi Ame Tamid Rav Yochanan Hava, the Gemara now points out that we know that Rabbi Ame was a student of Rav Yochanan. My time at Tabre. Why did he break the plate? And I'll tell you why. Because he heard his Rebbe once say that salting is just like roasting. And when I salt meat on top of the plate, so now the blia of the bloody salt is going to go into the plate, and a transfer has now gone into the plate, and it's an earthenware plate that can't be koshered, and so you now have a permanent absorption of dam in that plate that was created through salting. And so even though Ravin is quoted Rav Yochanan as saying that Malach ain't a koroseach, but Abaye says very powerfully in this regard, pay no attention to Ravin, because we know that Rav Yochanan holds like Shmuel, Malach harei koroseach. Okay, let's do a little bit more for this morning. Yosef Rav Kahana Asya de Rav Yehuda Kameh de Rav Huna v'Yosef v'kamer karash ha-malach babasar asa l'chol b'roseach. Again, if I have a plate where I roasted, on this plate, I can't eat other hot foods on this plate, because what's going to end up happening is that there's going to be a transfer from the plate, which has dam absorbed in the plate into the hot food. Now, if I have a radish that was cut, with a knife, one is allowed to eat that together with kutach, with cheese. Now, in other words, we're talking about the knife was used to cut hot meat. And so, if I now cut a radish with that knife, so the taste of the meat now goes into the radish, and so therefore, one would make the argument that I'm not allowed to eat that radish with milk. And he says, mutal achla b'kutach, but you're allowed to. The Gemara says, wait one second, my timer. I'm Rabbi, Yahya Terabala, Hayisurabala. So the Gemara at first says, well, I'll tell you the difference between the two cases. When I salted the meat on a plate, so what the plate absorbed is blood. Blood is usur. When I cut the snow and the radish with the fleshik knife, what did the radish absorb? It only absorbed the meat taste, which is mutter. The Gemara says, I don't understand that distinction. What a difficult distinction to make. If the radish actually absorbs tam basar, and then I take that radish and I introduce it to milk, we have now the taste of meat together with milk. It's called basar b'chalav. What do you mean it absorbed heter? It absorbed heter. Heter that's going to lead to isser. So the Gemara says dasi le deisuru hu deisuru ka achal. You're eating isser. So ela marava hayesh le mitame v'haylo efshar. So the Gemara now makes the following distinction. Oh, the distinction is, you know, when I cut the radish with the fleshik knife, so did the taste of the fleshik go into the radish? It's very simple. Take a bite out of the radish. If you could taste the meat inside of it, oh, so then that's the problem. If I can't taste the meat inside of it, then we're fine. I'm the Rapapa Larava. And by the way, we can't do that with the plate. Well, first of all, you can't bite into the plate. Okay, good. But more significantly, that was a silly point. Please disregard. But more significantly is that when I cook something on that plate, when I put hot food on that plate, and if there is the blood that goes into that food, so we can't taste it, meaning it may or may not have absorbed the blood. But if it did, it's us, and you and I can't taste it. So the Gemara says, look, if the taste of truma may or may not have gotten to another food, so go over to a kohen, have him taste it, and he's allowed to eat both, and that's fine. But if meat is introduced to milk or milk is introduced to meat, and I'm not sure if there was an istinas tam. So the Mishnah says, well, have somebody taste it. Who's going to taste it? And we know the answer already because we've gone over this before. So v'amr la litami kapela, hachanam litami kapela. We'll have a non-Jew taste it. And over here also, we'll have a non-Jew taste it. Hachinami ki kamina deleka kapela. He says, you're absolutely right. When we're cooking, when we have the blood salted, when we have the meat salted on a plate and the blood has now been absorbed into the plate, and subsequently we have cooked another dish on top of this plate. So you're right. In a circumstance where I have a non-Jew and I can ask him to taste it, hey, do you taste the blood in it? And he'll either say yes or no, and we can act accordingly. Again, assuming that we can allow a non-Jew to do so. Aliba de Gemara, obviously you're allowed to. However, we are discussing a scenario in which we don't have a kapela, and that's why it simply was not an option in this particular regard. Let's recap. Today we started on Kuf Yud Amud Beis. We started with the liver. And as we learned over the course of today's daf, the liver is excessive blood in it, and therefore that excessive blood has to be taken into consideration. The Mishnah Truma says that when I cook the liver in the pot, the liver itself does not become asur, although it prohibits other foods. The simple pshat in that Mishnah Truma is that because the liver is constantly discharging, so therefore there's no allowance for absorption. However, what is it discharging? Obviously blood. All the other food in the pot is going to be asr. Although there were other ways to learn that Mishnah and Truma, that's really the simple pshat and Truma. As far as the Gemara's discussion, the Gemara talked about roasting the liver in terms of extracting the blood, because there's so much blood in it, so you need to cut it like we described regarding the udder. Cut it two ways, lengthwise, crosswise, and make sure that it's facing downward when you're roasting it to allow for all the blood to drain out of the liver. Interesting, in the Gemara never makes a clear indication whether the salting of the liver is also going to be a valid way of extracting the blood. The Rishonim debate whether or not one is allowed to salt the liver to extract the blood out of the liver. There is a shita of Rabbeinu Tam, tucked away in today's daf, that one is allowed to salt the liver. He is really a minority position on this issue of blood extraction from the liver. Meaning that all the other Rishonim say that, no, because the liver has so much blood in it, so for the liver, the only way to properly get out the blood is only through the act of roasting, in which we just described. And then, a lengthy discussion in the Gemara regarding the various practices of the Amoraim, who did eat the liver, who didn't eat the liver, right? A guest of Rav Nachman's house refused to eat the liver, even though Rav Nachman served it. Okay. V'chule v'chule. And then, the other thing to take into consideration is that whenever I salt a piece of meat, so on one hand, I am extracting the blood, but whatever the blood is draining into is now going to aser that which it got drained into. Because maliach havei karoseach. So that's another point to take into consideration, which the Gemara discussed at the tail end.